Hello, my name is Bill. I'm a meat eater. I enjoy brisket. Not really a rib man, though.
All right.
Pulled pork, solid second.
But nice.
Not as good as the brisket.
All right. That's good to know, man. Good to know. For you ladies listening out there. Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
And my name is Bill.
So we're on episode 30, man.
Dirty 30.
That's right.
Dirty 30.
What do you think about hitting 30?
Meh.
That's right,
it's a
man.
It's a nothing number.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see. We'll do something extra special for 50.
How yeah, about that? We'll do that. All right. Cool.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got some time to think about that.
But it's weird. This is a year and a half.
That's right, man. Yeah, like to the day, pretty much,
Yeah, who thought?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple of guys from Victoria just talking movies.
Yeah. I think we're doing pretty well, so I'm happy with that.
Yeah, me too, man. Me too. So what have you been up to since the last time we recorded?
Not a lot. Same as last episode. I work, I come home, I watch a movie, and I go to bed. It's still really hot here.
Yeah.
It's kind of cooler today, though. It's nice.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Yeah.
It's like the new we were recording and wanted a cool room.
That's right. We needed it, man. Yeah, it was pretty warm last time.
Yeah.
But we recorded it a little bit earlier, but yeah, anyway, whatever.
I'm watching The Flash.
Oh, yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Nice.
Not like great or anything. It's starting to pick up. I'm on about episode 15.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's getting better.
I've heard some good stuff.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Right on.
And I haven't watched any of the new HBO shows. I think.
Oh,
you did.
Man, yeah. True Detective season 2 episode 1 really sets up things for the second season, which I loved. I really liked it.
Is Alexandra Daddario in season 2?
No, not as far as I watch. You do get to see Rachel McAdams booty, though.
That's not bad.
And some underwear. So that was pretty nice.
Now, if my girl's not in it, then no watch.
That's right. The new The Rock show, Ballers.
Ballers.
It was not very good.
Really?
It looks kind of like Entourage, but for sports.
Oh.
Which might be kind of might have been kind of cool 10 years ago.
Okay. I didn't really know what it was about.
Yeah. It's like about him, his character becoming a sports agent or sports manager or something.
Do you smell what the sports agent is cooking?
Exactly. Yeah.
Trying to do the eyebrow.
Oh, there you go.
It's not working.
I could never do it.
No.
I tried as a kid so many times.
I'm going to say I'm left-handed.
Oh, there
That's
you go.
That's why I can't do it.
All right. Nice. It's summertime, so Big Brother 17 is underway.
I watched that too.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Have you watched both episodes?
I have, yeah.
Do you have a favorite, early favorite?
No.
No. I like the little Asian cowboy.
Oh, no, yeah, I like
He's
him.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
That's the trouble with like the first week or two of Big Brother. You don't know the names, so you're just going like, oh, that hot girl with the boobs or
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, the Asian cowboy. That's
yeah,
weird.
He's cool.
Yeah, I like him.
It's like a redneck.
He's about 4'11".
Yeah.
He's wearing his like Duck Dynasty hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so awesome.
Yeah. I always enjoy Big Brother.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And screw anybody who calls it a guilty pleasure. Own up to your things, man.
And props for the transgender person on the show.
Yeah, the first house guest that's transgender. I think that's awesome. I thought it was cool watching everybody's reactions because they were all trying to be cool and stuff. And I don't know how I would react to that. Like, but yeah, I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
I've been playing Batman Arkham Knight all weekend, really? And it's a lot of fun.
Really?
Yeah, I kind of put Witcher 3 aside just because it's so repetitive and buggy still. So
they just patched it.
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
I haven't played it. I've been playing Final Fantasy. So
right on. yeah, I haven't played since that patch, but I'll get back into it. I'll probably play through Arkham Knight.
Yeah, the games aren't going anywhere, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Put them down for a bit.
Yeah,
it's all good.
Just come back.
I saw some negative reviews on the game, which kind of swayed me away from it.
The Batmobile is not the most awesome thing. Like, it's cool when you're driving around, but there's missions where you're a tank, and you're just, like, blowing up vehicles, and it's like, this isn't what Batman's all about.
And supposedly the PC version is unplayable.
Like, oh, really?
It literally does not play.
Oh, wow.
They've released so many patches for it already.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that. That's crazy.
That's why we play consoles.
That's right.
We don't have to update our video card
anymore. I know. It's not outdated by the time you take it out the door.
Yep.
Yeah. Are you ready for some rant action?
I am. We're going to do a weird rant here.
Yeah. Before the show, we usually briefly talk about the format. You know, we just make sure we're on the same page, right? And for the rant, we always make sure we just touch base and say, here's what I'm going to rant about. So there's no overlap. This is probably the first time we had overlap, this is right? The
first time ever.
Yeah, in a year and a half. We both picked the same thing.
And like 5 minutes before the show, we couldn't think of another one. So we're just going to co-do the rant.
Yeah, the joint rant. Yeah. Pass it around, man. So what do you got for us? Tell our listeners what our joint rant is all about.
So Pixar always has a short before their films. And this time, with Inside Out, there's a short called Lava. It's a cute little short. It's about a volcano who wants to be loved. And everybody's shitting on it.
Big time.
And I don't get it. It's cute. It's nothing major.
It's not groundbreaking.
No, but it's cute. And I saw it with kids, and kids liked it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's really well animated, and the main character is pretty cute looking.
Yeah.
When it first opens his eyes and mouth, everybody laughed.
Yeah.
It was adorable.
Oh, totally.
And everybody's like, oh, it almost ruined my experience watching Inside Out.
I know.
Shut the fuck up.
30-something people who have never had a child, have never been loved, never been in a serious relationship.
Never left their basement.
Never left their basement. It's harmless fun. Like, yeah. It's catchy, and little kids loved it, and grown-ups loved it. I saw it in a screening with all adults, and people were giggling and having fun, and I was like, well, you know, maybe if you don't enjoy it, say your piece and move on, but yeah. These people are being, like, vultures.
They're piling on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I finished watching. I'm like, that was nice.
Yeah.
It's not the best short they've ever made.
No.
It was nice.
No. Yeah.
Then I came home and went on Twitter, and everybody was just like, rah! I'm just like, ugh. I'm like Adrian. I hate Twitter.
Oh, it's brutal, man.
I don't even care. Fuck Twitter.
Yeah. I would love to quit. One day I'm going to quit, I promise. I'll be a happier person for it.
No, you're not. Yeah.
Bill's right. Bill knows me too well.
I think that's about it.
I guess a little side rant about that is how quick everybody is to canonize or call something the worst thing ever. That seems to be the two categories when it comes to film discussion. It's
gotta be black or white.
Yeah, it's black or no gray area, nothing in between. And no consideration of the target audience, which is 5-year-old children.
There is no Christian Gray, Adrian.
That's right. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's all I've got.
Cool.
Cool.
Joint rant.
Joint rant.
That was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Get your own rant.
Yeah, man. I'll work on it next time, man.
Cool. Yeah, literally, he asked me what the rant was. I said it. He's like, oh, that's my rant.
Yeah, that's right. What the fuck, man? We'll try harder next time.
I guess we weren't curmudgeon enough.
That's right. Yeah. Anyway, are you ready to move on?
What are we doing first, G?
So we got main reviews coming up. Let's do Inside Out first.
Cool.
just because I wrote that down first.
Nice.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Adrian, the man with the notes.
That's right. Yeah, I'm the man with the plan. So yeah, first up, we're going to talk about Inside Out.
So, Riley, how was the first day of school?
Fine, I guess.
Did you guys pick up on that?
Sure did.
Something's wrong.
Signal the husband.
Uh-oh, she's looking at us. What did she say?
Oh, sorry, sir. No one was listening.
Is it garbage night? We left the toilet seat up. What is it, woman? What?
I'm Joy. This is sadness. That's anger.
What?
This is disgust. And that's fear. We're Riley's emotions. These are Riley's memories. They're mostly happy, you'll notice, not to brag.
I wanted to maybe hold one.
What happened? Sadness?
She did something to the memory.
Is everything okay?
I don't know.
Pinch it back, Joy!
I'm trying.
Joy, no,
let
wait.
Go.
The core memories!
No.
Can I say that curse word now?
What do we do now?
Nothing's working. Why isn't it working?
We have a major problem.
Oh, I wish Joy was here.
We can fix this. We just have to get back to headquarters.
That's long-term memory. You could get lost in there.
Think positive.
Okay. I'm positive you will get lost in there.
What did you think of Inside Out?
Right off the top, I just wanted to say, great animation.
Yeah.
Great voice work.
Oh, yeah.
And I like the score.
Oh, it's great, yeah.
And it's like Boyhood. One of those ideas that people probably should have figured out a long time ago, but never came up with. And
yeah,
the idea of like the complex teenage girl and the way her mind works, that's a pretty awesome idea.
Oh, totally.
And
yeah.
Just the idea that along with the girl, the people inside of her head have to grow up too. I thought that was a really cool idea.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this film, but not enough to perfect star it.
That's fine, I guess.
I just there was the middle. I thought dragged a little bit. Maybe it'll clear itself up on the second viewing.
Yeah,
but the first viewing, they kept on doing the same thing over and over again. It seemed to me.
I know what you mean. I think that second act is just as essential as this first and third.
Yeah,
because. Like, without getting too much into spoilers, like, I'm sure our listeners know all about what this movie's about. It's her emotions within. So, there's joy,
sadness, fear, anger, and disgust.
Yes. Each of them play a role, whether it's big or small. And she has core memories, which form her, like, memory island. So she loves hockey. So there's Hockey Island. That's a big part of her life. I'm trying to think of one of the islands that...
Family Island?
Family Island, yeah. As she starts to distance herself from things that she loves, these islands fall apart. And
I thought that was really great, but that was part of the problem. They were at these islands, and it just kept on... They kept on doing the same thing over and over again. It was, you know... The rest of the movie is so great that I'm like, this is kind of just good.
Yeah.
I'm really nitpicking at this. Is still a really damn good film.
No, other people have said the same.
Yeah, I just, I know maybe, I hadn't heard other people have said that, so now I don't feel so bad.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
It's a 4.5 out of 5-star movie to me.
Right on.
Which is still like upper echelon. Oh,
totally. Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure DreamWorks would kill for a 4.5 out of 5 from Bill Harris.
Oh, totally.
Because they're always asking.
I think this is going to be on somebody's desk on Monday morning going, you got to listen to this podcast.
Pretty much.
I thought it was so clever and so smart. There was a point in the movie where I was thinking, this is almost like a Christopher Nolan animated film. Just the amount of thought and planning and research that went into it. Like, to give away a tiny minor spoiler, we talked about her love for hockey in the movie. It's a big island. When she loses her love for hockey, it falls off and goes into the abyss, where everything's forgotten. All of her memories are forgotten. But when she lost touch with things she loved, like hockey. That took me back to things that were that used to be really important in my life. Like I thought, you know, I grew up playing baseball. When I got hit by a ball a few times, really hard, that love went away and baseball wasn't a part of my life anymore. And I could really relate to that. And it wasn't just sports. It's, you know, it's friends you make, like friends you hold near and dear. And then you graduate high school and move on. And
never see them again.
Never see them again. Yeah. they're not as important anymore. And that's fine. That's life. So yeah, that was my thought on that.
The whole idea of Pixar being a kids movie studio all of a sudden is not really these movies are made for teenagers and adults.
Oh, totally.
This film is not a kids film.
Yeah.
If you take your kid to this film, they're not going to get it.
Yeah, I think they'll probably like the shininess and the characters jumping up and down, but yeah, it's not as, you know, a movie like Minions is more directed for children.
You have to be able to relate to some of this stuff.
Yeah.
And I totally did. I really do like this film. And Pete Docter, the director, all of a sudden, it's got quite the resume.
Yeah, he directed Up and Monsters Inc.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he produces and writes
and
does everything.
I think it's a fine film. I just don't think it's Toy Story 3 good.
Oh, really?
If we're going to use a Pixar.
Okay. I think it's up there, man. Yeah.
You've seen it twice.
Yeah,
I've only seen it once.
Yeah.
So if you did the second viewing smooth some stuff?
Oh, yeah. Second viewing
brought
it home for me.
I guess I got to check it out again.
Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, no question. This is top tier, top shelf Disney Pixar.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. I just love how complex it is, yet it stays so simple. And the concepts in there are just so deep and it's like such an emotional roller coaster. Like there were moments in the movie, like multiple moments where I was like laughing like a crazy maniac. And then 5 seconds later, I'm like, oh man, I got dust in my eyes again. Don't look at me.
did you update your Twitter account? Did Adrian cry for this, by the way?
No, I should.
Come on, dude.
I'm trying to keep that up to date. yeah. And yeah. They're
such a big softy.
I am, dude. Wear my heart on my sleeve. What
damn
can I
right,
say?
Damn right.
One thing I wanted to talk about briefly is how much I love the performances from Phyllis Smith. She plays Sadness. And Richard Kind plays a character. I won't name him. He's a character in the movie.
Pixar did something really cool. There was a really important character in this film that's not in the trailer.
Yes.
How refreshing is that?
That's so cool.
I love that.
Think of how many more tickets they would have sold if they showed that character.
Oh, totally. The idea of holding something back is so foreign in Hollywood nowadays.
It is.
Like, check out that Terminator Genesis trailer.
Oh, they give away everything.
I've seen the film.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that it's a breath of fresh air.
Oh, big time. Yeah, and Richard Kind, he's just a serious man.
Yeah.
He was in that, and he was so good in that. He's good in everything.
That's a really underrated Joel and Ethan Coen film.
Yeah. So, yeah, Richard Kind, Phyllis Smith, give it up for them.
Amy Poehler,
she voices Joy.
Bill Hader.
Yeah, Bill Hader. He's voiced fear. Yeah.
And Lewis Black was anger. And Mindy Kaling was disgust.
Yeah. All perfectly cast.
Yeah.
Really cool film. I loved it to bits. It's one I think will only improve with multiple viewings.
Cool, man. You sold me on the multiple view.
Right on.
Maybe I'll check it out after Terminator Genesis.
How do you say Genesis?
Genesis, yeah.
Genesis. Yeah.
That sounds like a triple bill. I'll go and see Magic Mike, Double XL, and Genesis.
Yeah, that's right.
Inside Out.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I don't have too much else to say other than I fully agree with Bill. It is more directed towards teenagers and up. I think children could enjoy it. Like they'll enjoy the characters, but they won't fully understand it because emotions are complex.
Yeah.
And they're still developing their emotions. It is a great family film. But high recommendation for me.
It's weird that an animated film that's sort of like a heady film, like this is not, it's got some pretty good ideas in it, is making a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
There's
yeah.
some films this year that have been really not regular films that have made money, like Mad Max has made money.
Yeah, yeah, and that's great.
Yeah, like, of course, you have your Furious Sevens that are making a stupid amount of money.
But, Jurassic World.
Jurassic World, ugh.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really cool. I really like the movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I highly recommend it.
Right on. Right on. So yeah, that's Inside Out. Anything else?
No, I'm good.
Cool. Right on. Well, I guess we can move on to our next film.
What is our next film, sir?
Next film is a sequel. Ted 2.
Ted Harder?
Ted Harder. Yeah. Why didn't they come up with something like that?
Electric Boogaloo?
Yeah.
Happily Ever After only exists in fairy tales. Yet a talking teddy bear is about to marry his girlfriend.
I now pronounce you teddy bear and wife. May kiss the bear.
Proving that Americans don't give a crap about anything.
So I got some big news. Tammy Lynn and I are gonna have a baby.
That's awesome. Wait, how do you guys...
We need a sperm donut. What is that? What are you doing?
I'm getting ready, dude.
What do you mean you're getting ready? What are you doing with your hand?
I'm doing this for you. So when I get in, I can just bust it out.
What, you think you are, a red lobster?
Hey, Johnny, you did it.
Right here, buddy.
Catch.
What the... Dude, that's somebody's kid.
Fight some shit! Dude, it's in my eyes. I'm blinking it in.
Oh, wait. I'm gonna take a picture and post it on Facebook.
What?
Hashtag Grr Monday.
Help me!
Oh my God, Teddy, look at this. It's as if we want to have a baby, you're gonna have to prove you're a person in a court of law.
This is a nightmare.
We gotta fight it. We'll get a lawyer and we'll sue the government for your civil rights.
I'm Samantha Jackson. You must be Ted.
Yeah, Samantha Jackson. What's your middle name?
Leslie.
Oh my God, you're Sam L. Jackson.
That's great. I mean, just like Sam L. Jackson.
Who is that?
You ever seen any movie ever? He's the black guy.
All right, so Ted 2.
Tedpocalypse.
Tedpocalypse. Yeah, that's right.
He's trying to think of weird things.
Yeah.
Yeah. How's that working?
Yeah, that's right. So Ted 2, sequel to Ted. What's this movie about, Bill?
Ted and his new wife want to adopt a baby. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
And instead of adopting a baby, the whole process brings out to everybody's attention that Ted might not be a human.
That's right.
Really?
Finally, all these years later.
They just figured that one out. I love the first film.
Yeah.
I remember walking out of that film just being completely happy.
Yeah, me too. I was surprised by how much I enjoyed it.
I don't think anybody really expected that. Remember the first time you saw that first Ted trailer? And everybody went mental and like, this movie's going to be great.
Oh, yeah.
The movie actually delivered.
Yeah.
I walked out of this one and I was just like, meh.
Yeah. Yeah, I fully agree. we were talking briefly before the show how, you know, when they hit their jokes, it is hilarious.
But the problem is, it's maybe a third of the jokes.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Like maybe a quarter.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's probably more accurate.
Yeah.
And so many scenes where you're just like, why was that in there? They could have cut that
because
out.
Because a lot of the quote-unquote sight gags feel like a Family Guy ripoff. You know, Family Guy, when just out of the blue, it cuts to another scene of something else happening, and then it cuts back?
Oh, yeah.
McFarlane does that about 10 times in this film.
Yeah. Yeah, it's overkill.
And this just in, folks, Seth MacFarlane, not a very good director.
Definitely not.
One of the blander films I've seen this year, looks-wise.
Oh, totally.
Not a lot going on.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking Kevin Smith-like directing
here. Yeah, just like, not even any camera set up. All right, just shoot.
Like, about an hour into the film, there was like a crane shot, and I'm like, holy crap, the camera moved.
Yeah, that was pretty lame.
Oh, and it's a Seth MacFarlane movie, or a TV show, so it has to have a musical number.
Oh, yeah. It opens with a musical number,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Everything I kind of hated about Seth MacFarlane came out in this film. He got away from it in the first one. I'm like, this is really refreshing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it came back and just 1,000% in this film.
Went back to the well way too many times. There's not much to this film. I thought it was a major, major disappointment because Ted won. I was not looking forward to it. I went into it going, I don't know, man. And I found myself laughing like a crazy maniac, like 2 minutes in, and sustained that laughter for most of the runtime. But this one, you know, I was somewhat looking forward to it. I thought, you know what? They did well the first one. They can do it again. And not so much.
But I still like Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, yeah.
I like Mark Wahlberg. Yeah. He's good in the film.
Yeah.
Seth MacFarlane as Ted is pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
It's just the jokes don't work.
Yeah.
The Mark Wahlberg character has a new love interest, played by Amanda Seyfried.
Yeah. That's Ted's lawyer. One of the weird things about it is so many things. This is nitpicky, but.
Bring it.
Yeah, she breaks out a bong in their first meeting and just starts smoking up.
30 seconds in, yeah.
Doesn't even say anything. Doesn't even go, oh, by the way, guys, I need this for. What was it, arthritis or something? Or
yeah. They go out of
migraine,
their
way, migraine
they go
headaches.
Out of their way to make her look like the most amazing girlfriend material of all time when all you have to do is look at her.
I know.
My God. But she's like the coolest chick ever.
Yeah.
And they really oversell it. But she's not bad either.
Yeah.
It just comes down to the fact that the jokes don't work.
Yeah.
That's and it.
With a tighter cut of the film, I think you could find something good in there. But yeah, it's like a Judd Apatow film. It's like, all right, dude, you need to reduce that runtime a bit, tighten it up. That scene was totally unnecessary.
You got to do what Adrian does. You got to turn on HBO at 6:30 a.m.
That's right.
And watch this instead of paying for it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Exactly.
Or watch Ted again.
Yeah, which I recommend. I watched it again a week ago, and it was funny.
Or go see something else.
Yeah, go see Fury Road.
Do you know what the great thing about this is? Film kind of bombed.
Oh, it did,
eh? It only made $32 million.
Oh, really? Wow, I didn't know that.
So guess what, folks? Mad Max made more money than Ted 2 opening weekend.
That's pretty awesome.
That is amazing.
That's a victory right there.
Yeah, we have done well. But yeah, I have nothing else.
Yeah, I've got nothing else for Ted 2.
If I was a star rate Ted 2, I'd give it 2 out of 5.
Yeah, I'd probably give it about the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Poor movie. Oh, well, can't win them all, right?
Especially this month.
Yeah. Leading right into our third main review. This, I'm very shocked we got it. I didn't think we'd get this film.
Yeah. Didn't Jim Poliafico say on Twitter that he was shocked that we had it before he did?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they usually get everything before us.
Which pisses me off because it's been playing in Vancouver for 3 weeks.
Oh, it has, eh? Yeah. Wow.
On 2 screens at International Village.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're not that cool.
That's right. All right. So
what's the film, man?
The film is Me and Earl and the Dying Girl.
I have no idea how to tell this story. I don't even know how to start it. This is the story of my senior year of high school and how it destroyed my life.
Your father and I want to talk to you about something sad. Rachel Kushner has been diagnosed with leukemia.
That sucks.
It sucks.
It sucks quite a bit.
You might be someone who could make Rachel feel better.
I don't need your stupid pity.
I'm not here because I pity you. I'm actually here because my mom is making me.
It's actually worse.
Everyone was gonna find out sooner or later.
One thing you can do if you don't want to talk to anyone is just enter a subhuman state. Pretend you're someone annoying.
Hi, Rachel. I'm really sorry you have cancer.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
So if this was a touching romantic story, our eyes would meet and suddenly we would be furiously making out with the fire of 1,000 suns. But this isn't a touching romantic story. Anyway.
Yep. Is this little Brent?
Earl's just my coworker.
Okay, so our third review is for Me and Earl and the Dying Girl. Why don't you tell our listeners a little, lay down the groundwork for this film.
Two young men who, in their spare time, make films. Variations on old classics with cool new titles and very DIY feels to them. Meets some of these films, I tell you, they're great.
a sockwork orange
with sock puppets. Yeah, so good.
And a glass of milk.
But their life kind of gets turned upside down when they meet the dying girl who is a classmate of theirs who is dying of leukemia. And just how everything just kind of gets thrown against the wall, and whatever comes up. But this is a beautiful, rare, true film.
Oh, yeah.
And I haven't seen a movie that made me feel kind of nice, but just because it's so beautiful. The I love this film.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Love this film.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazingly shot. It's amazingly acted. The score is great. Those fucking films they shoot yeah. are hilarious.
They're great.
As a really side note geek thing, they have Criterion Collection posters all over their wall.
Oh, yeah.
And they go to a store and there's Criterion Collection laser discs that I've owned.
Oh, no way.
In that store.
Oh, that's awesome.
Me being a geek.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great one. I've been waiting for this for a while. I'm glad we finally got to see it. And I know we talked about it last episode, and you really didn't know what it was. So
yeah, I didn't know. I didn't see the trailer.
You probably went in a little bit surprised.
Yeah, I had no idea what to expect beyond the title. And man, talk about like the three kids in the movie. I think those are career-defining performances where we'll look back and go, yeah, this is where people took notice of Thomas Munn. He plays the main character. Didn't write character names down.
He's me.
He's you?
No, he's me.
Huh?
He's me.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there's Earl.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Earl. And
there's the dying girl.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, and they...
Adrian was lost.
I was like, what? I thought you were talking about you. No. I was like, dude, yeah. there's that flawless chemistry there.
I have pink skin, but I'm not that pink.
That's right. Yeah, and the guy who plays Earl, I'm probably saying this wrong, RJ Seichler, and Olivia Cooke plays the dying girl. And they're just magic together, all three of them.
Yeah.
What I love about this film is just how beautiful it looks. While I was watching it, I was like noticing a lot of things, just like depth of field, even in just a bedroom. You've got such great depth and really cool, like kind of fisheye lenses, really just innovative shots. And I was going, man, who the fuck shot this film the whole time I'm watching it? And as the credits roll, it's Chun Hoon Chun. He shot Old Boy, Stoker, and Sympathy for Lady Vengeance.
He's Chan-wook Park's DP.
Yeah, and his films.
Chan-wook, whatever you want to say.
Yeah, that's right. Man, what a beautiful, beautifully shot film. One of the best shot films of the year so far.
I'm going to be really vague here. There's a scene at the end with wallpaper.
Oh, yeah.
I thought was one of the cooler shot scenes I've seen this year.
Yeah, by far,
An image on wallpaper sounds like a really amazingly stupid shot.
Oh, but yeah.
Holy crap, did that destroy me.
Yeah.
Just the way it was shot.
Yeah, so it's beautiful, yeah.
Everything about this film is beautiful.
Yeah.
Not a false note in the damn film.
Yeah, I fully agree. It moves beautifully. It just, the opening act, they kind of take your guard down by using all the funny stuff we're talking about. You see their homemade films and their homemade titles, and the main character, he's hilarious. Earl is hilarious. And the dying girl, she's hilarious. And there's all these quirky little characters laced throughout, and they're all just so fun to watch. So they really take your guard down. And for the next, second, third acts of the film, is me trying to keep it together the whole time and failing miserably.
When I walked out of the theater, I had this really weird comparison. The entire film is from the male me character's perspective. It's all about his thoughts about the girl and Earl. Told in voiceover and flashbacks. It's very 500 Days of Summer.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Which is also from the male protagonist's like view. Earl is kind of in the background. And there's a scene in the film where you become really painfully aware that Earl is actually a really major character in this film, and it breaks your heart.
Oh, big time.
And I was just like, oh, I know this is from his point of view, but I wish we could have seen the rest of the stuff with Earl.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's also an amazing character, and he's sort of in the background.
Yeah.
And yeah. I found that a little frustrating, but at the same time, I'm just reveling in the beauty of the film.
Oh, yeah.
There's also a really kind of cool small character. John Barrowell from The Walking Dead is in the film.
Yeah, yeah.
He plays one of their teachers. He's also a really great character that just shows up for like 30-second scenes and kills it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he is great in this film.
And there's cool little like side characters from their school. This white guy who raps.
Yeah.
And this like super weird goth Mad Max guy.
Yeah.
Wears like welding glasses and
yeah.
And it shouldn't work. All these weirdness, all these weird characters, and they work so well.
Yeah, it all comes together.
I you know, next episode we're gonna say our midway top five list, and I think this is definitely one of the best films of the year.
Oh yeah.
Not gonna say if it's gonna be on it. But it's a beautiful film and highest recommendation for me. I don't know about you, man, but
big time. Big time. Yeah, there was it's just you grow to love all these characters, and it's all thanks to everybody involved. Like, the supporting cast also includes Nick Offerman, who's always great as like just a small bit character. Molly Shannon had a very unexpected role. Like, she's very funny in the film, which is natural for her. But she had some really cool, quiet moments as well.
She plays the dying girl's mom, and she's like really sexually aggressive to everybody.
Oh, I know. So funny.
It was so good.
Yeah, she had a thing with cheese. She had a line about cheese that was awesome. And Connie Britton's in the film, and she was great. Man.
A really underrated actress.
She is. Yeah. I love this film. I love it so much. If I could, I would embrace it close to my heart. I just love this. It's emotional without being manipulative. And I think that's what a lot of films are missing these days. Like, typically young adult films, which this is a young adult film. It's adapted from a young adult novel, right?
Please don't talk about Faulkner Stars.
No, I'm just generalizing young adult films.
Please don't talk about Paper Towns. Please don't talk about Paper Towns.
You know, Paper Towns, Faulkner Stars, Twilight.
You had an awesome tweet a couple weeks ago. We like, can't wait to not see Paper Towns in a month.
Oh, I know. That's me, man. That girl, she's like a model, apparently, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm so over her. Like, we already have Emma Stone. We don't need two Emma Stones.
She's oddly curious. It's those eyebrows.
Ugh, she needs to wax them, dude. They're so... She's just got two huge caterpillars on her face.
Nice.
Someone needs to squish them. Anyway.
So, yeah, one of the best films of the year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I fully agree. I wrote this in my notes. One of the hardest cries I've had at the movies in a long time, just because it's so emotional. It's beautiful.
That's rad, man.
Yeah, yeah. It was one of the ones where I was like, okay, I'm just gonna give in, man. I'm just gonna let it happen. What a film.
Hopefully nobody was sitting around you.
There was a few seats away, and my brother. So I think I was pretty safe.
That seal noise in the corner, that was Adrian.
Oh, totally. That was me, man.
What the fuck is that?
What is that? And the dying seal in the corner. So, yeah, if you couldn't tell, yeah, we recommend you see this film.
Ooh, Navy SEALs.
Hey,
did you get that joke?
No, I didn't.
Joke from Clerks.
Oh, damn it. Damn it. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, before this movie started, just a quick little story I wanted to tell, which I think captures today's audience perfectly. So, you know how you go to the kiosk and you just, you know, you pick which movie you're seeing, you swipe your scene card, you pay. Anyway, there's this couple next to me. They're like, I don't see it here. And they're like, they won't let me buy tickets. And I look over and they're trying to buy tickets for Magic Mike. And I was like, oh, that starts next week. And they were devastated. They were just like, it was as if someone told me that, you know, Star Wars was delayed or something. So they're like, okay, well, they're like, what should we see? And I was like, oh, you can't go wrong with Inside Out. And the woman looks down. She's like, oh, it's a cartoon. No, I'm not interested.
Wow.
And I was like, well, we're going to see this movie called Me and Earl and the Dying Girl. It looks really cool. I've heard great reviews. It looks very interesting. And they're like, oh, let's go to Ted 2 instead. I was like, oh, no, I tried. I tried my hardest.
It's time to thin the herd, man.
It is. Yeah. It is. We'll start at the Odeon downtown.
with the manager of the Odeon.
Oh, boom. You can
cut that if you want, but fuck him.
All right, man.
Fuck it. Don't cut that.
Fuck it. Don't
Hope
cut
he hears it.
It. Bring it. Anyway. That was our one time where we're going to get off track this show. We've got quite the history at the movie theater downtown. Yeah, the only one downtown.
We never get off track.
That's right. Tightest show ever.
Tightest.
All right. So we should move into our next section, the Green Screen of Death Movie Club. Bill picked The Wild Bunch to watch for this episode. Bill, why don't you let our listeners know, what is The Wild Bunch all about, and why did you pick it?
So, yeah, it's from 1969, directed by Sam Peckinpah, who I have really high regard for, and I hope you sure as hell do now, because
oh, yeah.
I think he's one of the greats.
Yeah.
The Wild Bunch, to me, is about people's word, and how you have to hold it up at all cost, and men who you think are over the hill that are the baddest men on the planet.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So the Wild Bunch are a bunch of robbers who are kind of getting phased out by technology. We're in the early, like, say, like 1910, 1913 era, and cars are starting to come around and higher powered guns, and they just have regular guns.
Yeah, six shooters, rifles. Yeah.
And they are badasses.
Oh, totally.
To the highest degree.
Yeah.
And they're being chased by one of their own who got caught by the cops, and his way of getting out of jail is to help them catch the Wild Bunch.
Yeah.
And the whole entire film is them playing cat and mouse. And holy crap, what a cat and mouse game it is.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. Like, one of the big takeaways I took from this film at the conclusion, and again, this is such an old movie, we're going to get into spoiler territory. Like, we're not going to try to give away the whole film, but we will talk spoilers. So if you haven't seen The Wild Bunch, shame on you. Shame on me, yeah. as of yesterday. But anyway, the biggest takeaway I took from this film is that after my first viewing is that there are consequences to your actions, and every man is held accountable for everything he did in the film and in the past that we didn't see. Maybe with the exception of the really old guy.
Pike?
The guy they wanted to shoot in the beginning. The guy who was watching the horses.
Yeah.
But maybe after he retired, he did good things. Who knows?
Yeah.
That was one thing that came to my head. I was like, as I was wiping the tears from my face, fuck, that movie kicks ass, dude.
So the Wild Bunch are played by William Holden, who played Pike Bishop, the leader of the Wild Bunch, who was kind of known for being a comedian in his movies. Not like a really likable, nice guy. He is a badass in this film. His second in command, Ernest Borgnine.
Yeah, he's great.
Dutch. Another guy known for being kind of a jolly comedian guy. Not in this film. He laughs, but he's dangerous.
Yeah.
And they're chased by Robert Ryan, who played Deke Thornton. These are all really great character actors that nobody knows about anymore. But these guys were stars back in the day. And something to be said about the old guy who is just so much better than everybody else. And just that film does not get made anymore.
Definitely not.
No, no. It's weird. And Peckinpah, for all of his awesomeness, pretty much invented multi-angles in this film. Slow-mo.
Yeah.
Fast cuts.
Yeah.
Like super fast cuts.
Yeah. Oh, big time.
Oh, and by the way, this film didn't get rated because it was too violent.
Oh, yeah.
The MPAA refused to even rate the film unless they cut some violence out.
That's crazy.
This film was made in 1969 where, you know, you didn't have like Insidious 12 where like violence was nothing. This was a genre-breaking film. Like this film, along with Bonnie and Clyde, were the films that really put violence back into movies. This is a beast for violence.
Yeah. Right from the get-go, you've got innocent civilians getting gunned down big time. And it's not just like you see them shot. You see them get shot. You see blood splatter. You hear them scream. You see them fall down. And it's like, holy fuck.
I remember reading somewhere that Peckinpah didn't like the way the squibs blew up.
Oh, really?
And he reshot pretty much every scene with new squibs.
Oh, no way. And then
he didn't like the gun sounds. So he reshot every scene with new gun sounds.
No way. Yeah. That's unreal.
Sam Peckinpah was the man.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
So the opening scene with all the needless violence with civilians, lovely.
Yeah.
The amazing train/bridge scene.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Where they rob a train in silence. And yeah. It is so great.
Yeah, it's super tense.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's cool as hell.
And they blow up a bridge with horses and men on it.
Yeah, that was insane.
And they fell into the water.
Yeah, like that was all real.
That was not a fake thing.
You didn't have CGI back then.
And the final battle, there's a really amazing scene where what's left of the Wild Bunch walks through the town. And everybody in the town backs away from them. Because everybody in that place knows, do not fuck with these guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a reason.
Oh, yeah.
Because they pretty much kill everybody in that town. Yeah. There's like 200 people in that town.
Yeah. They annihilated motherfuckers. Yeah. And I was just like, yeah. I wrote in my notes here, you get four films pretty much for the price of one. Like the bank heist in the beginning, that's a film on its own. The sort of cops and robbers pursuit, that's a film on its own. The train heist, that whole sequence is a film on its own. And the finale is just, and every set piece is just so much better than anyone who's ever even tried to do anything like this.
No. No, this film has been copied a bit.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you picked that up. But,
yeah. As I was watching it, I was going, man, every filmmaker I've ever watched has tried to replicate a lot of these things in the film, whether it's a shot setup or sequences. You know, even Breaking Bad had a really cool train heist scene that was all silent.
Yeah.
And that was like exactly like that. I was like, holy shit, dude, this is crazy.
My stupid little Wild Bunch trivia thing. Have you ever seen Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie?
Oh, yeah. Love that movie.
Joss Whedon named multiple characters after people from the Wild Bunch.
No way.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Obviously, Joss Whedon likes the Wild Bunch.
Oh, yeah.
Which is amazing because I really like the Wild Bunch.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm glad you dug it.
Yeah, man.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's huge, huge recommendation if you haven't seen it. Check it out. Like, if you're into Westerns and you haven't seen it, that was the position I was in. You will kick yourself for waiting so long to watch this film because it's great.
Blu-ray is super cheap.
Yeah.
I think I got it for like $5. New.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a steal.
Yeah, that's a steal. Yeah. I think out of the Movie Club films, that I think we've done like five now.
I think so, yeah.
That's probably my second favorite of them.
Nice.
Best of Youth being my favorite of them.
Yeah, for me, it's probably been my favorite. Well, I don't know. House is up there, too. Just for pure enjoyment. So it looks like you're getting ready for the next selection, right?
Yeah. We're in the 50s. I don't quite know where I'm going to finish on that.
Yeah.
I think probably the 30s.
Okay. Yeah. And then start the cycle again.
Start the cycle again. Circle of life.
That's right.
So we're going back to Europe.
Okay. Europe. All right.
Europe. Wages of Fear.
I definitely haven't seen that. Cool.
Do you like that?
Nice.
1953. Henri Georges Clouzot. That's the original. William Friedkin remade the film in the 70s and called it Sorcerer.
Oh, nice.
Which was a really big Blu-ray last year that everybody wanted.
Yeah.
This is the real deal, the original one.
Oh, wow.
The final hour of that film is maybe the most tension-packed film I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you're in for a ride.
Nice.
It's a beauty. Yeah. It's a I had Adrian the Criterion Blu-ray, and it is on Hulu. So,
yeah,
that's your way of seeing it.
Yeah.
If you don't own the Blu-ray like I do. But, yeah, report back. It's amazing. I hope you like it.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Yeah, slowly making my way through. Yeah.
Right on.
Don't quite know what I'm going to do for the 40s and 30s yet. I don't really like films before the 60s.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I find the acting to be really hammy.
Oh, yeah. Definitely was. Big time.
Yeah. But this is a good one.
Cool.
So I nice. Enjoy.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if anybody wants to play along, we always invite you to join us and send your comments to us through Twitter or Facebook, and we'll read your comments on the show when we review the film. So you have until July 12th to watch The Wages of Fear, which is available on Hulu. So thanks for that, man. That's our movie club choice.
I hope
choice.
You enjoy it.
Yeah, thanks. So next sequence section, next thing we talk about, lightning round.
Pew, 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 lightning round.
There it is. There is a sound bit. Done live every time.
Damn right.
Yeah, so I didn't watch anything over the last 2 weeks.
Shame on you, sir.
Well, I did see like 4 or 5 movies theatrically. Oh, I got one. I have one.
What?
Max. I watched that movie, Max.
You did.
It was so bad.
It's so funny, too, because Adrian texts me. He's like, yeah, I'm going to watch Max. And I'm like, at least one of us watched it.
That's right.
It's going to be me.
It is just as bad as it looks in the trailer. It's like, the bears are who we thought they were. We let them off the hook. It's bad. It's like a Lifetime movie. Bullshit. Sucky. It's got like weird racial tension / just blatantly racist things in there. There's a bit where the boy meets a Latino girl. They're both 12 years old or 13. She goes to have dinner at the family's house. They invite her over and she's talking about her family and she's like, oh, I love dogs. My cousin raises and trains pit bulls. And Thomas Hayden Church, with his serious face, you know his serious face, he looks at her, he goes, does he raise them for illegal dog fights? It's like, holy fuck, you're saying that to a little girl when you just met her?
This is the year of like stupid racist bullshit and homophobic shit, right?
Yeah. Oh, big time.
Stuff that just should not be in films, but totally is.
Yeah, so anyway, skip Max. It sucks.
You mean Latinos don't dogfight?
I don't know. Oh, and the bad guys are Mexican arms dealers.
Nice.
Yeah. And they take them down, Littlest Hobo style. So that's my lightning round.
Nice. I did not see that. Yeah. Okay, my lightning round is full of weirdness. I saw a pigeon sat on a branch reflecting on existence.
Wicked. I've heard really good things about that.
The new Roy Anderson film. He's made 5 films in 40 years, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's like on Kubrick level of output.
Is it true this is like a third part in a trilogy or something? Okay.
Okay, so the first part was Songs from the Second Floor, which is a masterpiece. Masterpiece.
Wow, cool.
Second film is You the Living, which is not a masterpiece. It's Songs from the Second Floor, done again, but not as good.
Oh, wow.
A Pigeon Sat on a Branch Reflecting on Existence is Songs from the Second Floor, again, and not done as well.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, if you might like this one, but I say watch Songs from the Second Floor again.
Nice.
Which is a masterpiece.
Right on. Again. Nice.
A movie I know you've seen, South by Southwest Midnighter, favorite, We Are Still Here.
Oh, yeah. How did you think, what did you think of that?
I liked it.
Yeah.
I just had a problem with the really bad acting.
Oh, I like the guy who just went totally off the hinges.
Yeah, Larry Fassenden. Yeah. I like him.
He was awesome.
Everybody in this film was kind of bad acting-wise.
Ah, I didn't pick up on that.
Okay, but I did enjoy the film. It's, yeah. It's violent.
It's like super that. Violent, yeah.
It's a haunted house movie with people doing seances and being possessed and people getting their hearts ripped out. It's awesome. Just that acting, man. It's, kind of took it down a bit.
Yeah.
It's still a pretty fun film.
Cool.
I enjoyed it. White God, which I finally got to see.
Oh, and I haven't seen it yet.
It's about dogs rising up against oppression and going against the people who oppress them.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a beast.
Oh, really?
I love this film.
No pun intended.
Yeah. It's a really good film.
Wicked.
But if you have a problem with dog violence, the problem is that people are going to dismiss it for the dog violence, but the dog violence actually adds to the plot.
Oh, really? Okay.
So I think it's actually kind of justified.
Yeah.
But it's pretty bad.
Uh-huh.
If you don't like dog violence, do not watch this film.
Yeah.
But man, do those dogs get revenge.
Oh, wicked,
it's
man.
It's awesome.
That sounds cool.
Quite like that one.
Right on.
Manglehorn, another film I know you've seen.
Yeah.
A really quiet, slight film about a man just trying to learn how to coexist with people again.
Yeah.
Al Pacino and the new David Gordon Green film. David Gordon Green all of a sudden making really small independent films, and I really like that.
Yeah.
Pacino is not Al Pacino in this film. He's really quiet.
Yeah.
He's not yelling, hoo-wah!
That's right.
It's really good, but some people might find it slow. I found it nice. It's really easy to watch, and it's a nice character study.
A lot of charm to it.
Yeah.
Tiny little story from the Q&A. David Gordon Green approached Pacino with a script before this. Pacino said, I don't like it. Bring me something else. And this is what he brought him later. Nice. So that was kind of cool.
Also, a nice... sorry to cut you off there.
That's all good.
A nice supporting performance from Holly Hunter.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say.
Who doesn't age.
Yeah, she looks great.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris Messina's in it. He's really good. It's a nice film.
Yeah.
It's nowhere near, like, top five stuff, but it's... It's nice, and I'm glad I finally got to see it after you loved it.
Right on.
South by.
Right on. Anything else?
Yeah, that's about it for me.
Cool.
I didn't watch much either. I only had like four or five. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I have so much TV I need to watch, and I was at the movie theater probably four times over the last 2 weeks, which is still a pretty high number. Yeah.
You make it sound like I know people who see four movies a year.
I know. Yeah. Like four is like a low number or average number for us. Anyway. Yeah. I've got really nothing else beyond Max.
Cool.
So why don't you tell us what's coming up in the next, because we're for the summer, at least we're going to be recording every 2 weeks. So what's coming out in the next 2 weeks that we'll talk about next show.
The cool thing about next episode is we won't be in June anymore.
Yeah, June sucks.
June sucks. But the first week of July looks decent.
Yeah.
Magic Mike XXL. I'm a really big fan of the first film.
Me too.
A lot of people really scoffed at me for putting that on my top 10, but fuck you, I'm right.
You're right.
How's that taste?
It was in my top 10 list
How
as well.
How does that taste?
Yep.
I watched the trailer, and I'm like, this looks like Pitch Perfect.
Oh, totally. Yeah, Soderbergh is nowhere near this film, right?
I think he's producing it, but...
It's probably just a name.
That might be from afar.
Yeah.
I don't really know what to think of this one. I hope it's good, but it looks like Pitch Perfect. They go to a competition and have to win and something.
Yeah.
Not really high on the trailer, so
same here. Hoping
for good.
Yeah.
And Terminator Terminator Genesis. Why not just spell it the right way, you dumb fucks?
Exactly. Like Sega.
Yeah. The biggest spoiler trailer of the year. Pretty sure I know every beat in this film already.
Oh, yeah.
Which pisses me off. Daenerys Stormborn doesn't have dragons.
So, yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah. But she's got an old Arnold Schwarzenegger with
That's right.
I hope it's good. I saw a Cineplex pre-show today that James Cameron said, this is like the spiritual successor to the first two films.
Oh, I hate that.
And it's like, how many points do you have on this film, buddy?
Yeah, exactly.
I hope it's good.
Yeah.
I do.
Me too.
The last couple have not been good.
No, they've been garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Amy Winehouse documentary opens limited. Huge reviews at nice. A can.
Right on.
So everybody says it's really good.
Yeah.
It looked like the Amy Winehouse version of Montage of Heck, though.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, I didn't really know much about her, and I wasn't a big fan of hers, but I'll definitely check it out if it plays here.
She didn't want to go to rehab. No. No. No.
No. That's right. Look where that got you, Amy Winehouse. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. I went dark all of a sudden.
Too soon. Too soon. July 7th, The Gallows. I don't even know what this is.
I saw a poster once.
It's a Blumhouse film, which means it's a horror film that's going to be found footage.
Jump scares.
Yeah.
Shaky cam.
Adrian will go and see it.
I'll see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll probably will too. Minions.
Yes! I can't wait.
The trailer has its moments.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is probably going to be really bad, but why am I laughing?
Oh, man. I think it's going to be awesome. I love the first two Despicable Me movies.
Really?
Yeah, I really enjoyed them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Me not so much, but next right. film, Selfless.
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds and Ben Kingsley switch bodies. Ben Kingsley dies and goes into Ryan Reynolds' body. And Ryan Reynolds' mind fights back.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
I saw this film about 5 years ago at the Vancouver Film Festival when it was the original version called Transfer
from
Germany.
Oh, I didn't know it was a... Yeah.
I don't know if it actually is a remake, but it's the exact same freaking plot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That movie was pretty cool. I like Ryan Reynolds.
I like him. I
want him to be like a star, but he picks shitty films.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it.
That's the next 2 weeks.
That's the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's looking like, you know, I'm somewhat looking forward to Magic Mike. It's weird that I'm super amped for Minions. I love those little guys. They make me laugh.
Well, Wages of Fear is awesome.
Yeah, that's right. All right. We'll have something awesome to talk about next episode. Cool. So should we get down to the closure of the show?
Yeah.
All right. So people can find you on Twitter, right?
Yeah, I am at soundjam69.
Cool. And the show has a Twitter. We're at @green_screen. You can find me at @Adrian_Charlie. And we're also on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, any other podcast platform. Just run a search for The Green Screen of Death. You'll find us. We'd really appreciate a rating, a comment. Helps us find a wider audience. And we're also on Facebook. Run a search, The Green Screen of Death, and hit like and stuff.
Do you ever post shit on there?
I do, yeah.
Fuck Facebook.
That's right. Few people comment. Few people hit like. When I say a few, quite literally one or two or three people have ever hit like on our stuff.
I am not a Facebook person.
That's right.
They own all your content, people. Get off Facebook.
Ah, okay. All right. Let's save that for another episode. Let's not get political up in here. Right on, dude.
Right.
Well, that wraps it up for episode 30. And again, thanks anybody who's checked us out and stuck with us or any newcomers.
Before we go, we're posting our top five
episode. Oh, yeah.
How's that going to work? We're going to do like a week and then like midway? Kind
of? I don't know. We'll probably do it a few days into July. Like,
okay.
This one will go up on July 3rd, I believe. And we'll probably do it next week, midweek, I think.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Look forward to our lists.
Yeah. So, yeah, in our last year we did a mid-year recap where we recapped our top films of the year, worst films of the year. We had a lot of fun with it, so we're going to record another episode dedicated just to the mid-year recap because we made it halfway through 2015.
It's been a bit of a struggle.
It has, cool. Man. Yeah.
But there's some gold.
Yeah, that's so right.
Wait for that shit.
Yeah, we had to freaking mine all the good stuff.
All right, man.
Cool.
Let's rock and roll.
That does it. Episode 30. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll check in with you next time.
Peace.